Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Anime and Us Other. I'm TJ.
I'm Sean.
And this is a review show that reviews anime movies, sometimes.
Yeah, alright. So we got Ghost in the Shell, 1995 film is the one we watched, the first one. Came out in 1995, anime cyberpunk film based on the manga by the same name, written by Masamune, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Shiro. Written by Kazunori Ito, and directed by Mamori Oshii. Probably did that wrong. You know the rest. It's fucking Ghost in the Shell. And if you don't, look it up. Not really much else to it.
I'm just going to reset real quick a little bit here, since this is the only second time we do this. There's an option in the wheel that tells us that we do an anime movie. It's called Anime and Us Other, and we take this week to just watch a movie.
We put a list together, and we spit on it.
I put 11 movies into a wheel, and we got Ghost in the Shell. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is, though, the first one we got Akira, and now we got Ghost in the Shell, so it's like
the baseline of, like, culty or, like, you know, booming type anime that really brought things to the West.
Right. At movies that anime review shows should really review. Mm-hmm. So it's like, found it interesting that these are the two.
That's really funny considering there's a lot of modern stuff in there too.
Yeah, and like stuff based on series and stuff like that. We also did the series, Standalone Complex, a few months back.
Yeah, on G.
So,
which wasn't great, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're good. This is going to be an interesting review because
this was better, because it was shorter. An hour and a half less, actually. And I can pay attention for that amount of slow boringness. But it wasn't as slow because there's action sequences, and because it's not 28 episodes, and it's an hour and a half, it's only slow a bit in between, so it's not that bad.
Okay. Well, I was going to get into the fact that we're kind of going to be reverse on this one, because in the first review, with Akira, I was like the one that was like, I don't really like this one, and you were like, Akira is the best. And
I mean, don't get me wrong, I got a lot of problems with the whole setting, and it's just, right. We'll get into it, but it was nowhere near as bad as the show. Yeah. They condensed it, this came up before the show, but it's a condensed version of it, so most of my complaints of just being bored and falling asleep go away.
Well, it's also interesting that this has nothing to do with the series.
Yeah.
This literally takes place in an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's the same writing, it's the same piece, you know what I mean? Like, it's just condensed, it's not as slowly paced,
Great, so
it has to be, hopefully.
It didn't have to make, they made a movie, not a series.
Yeah, so something I found really interesting is all the nudity in this movie.
Oh, you didn't know about the nudity?
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh.
I think I saw maybe a clip or two back in the day.
Because, yeah.
It's galore.
This is one of the reasons why this one was such a cult classic, I think, because of the adult content in it.
Probably.
Just like Akira, you know?
I want to throw out there, if Ghost in the Shell, the Scarlett Johansson version, showed her titties in it, let's just be honest, that movie would have made millions. But it didn't. It f***ing bombed because it was terrible. Take your shirt off. Get better ratings. Honestly, though, come on. Guys would have wanted to go see it if they knew she was going to be naked in it. Let's be honest.
That makes you think they didn't.
Because she didn't. It wasn't rated R.
Oh, I don't remember what it was rated.
Yeah, I mean, honest, it was just a bad movie.
Well, I know.
Bad acting, bad effects. Every bit of that movie was terrible. Yeah. But although it's from what I remember watching it and watching this movie, they're pretty similar. Most of the scenes are the same. I think almost all of it's the same, actually.
The live action movie takes from both the series and the show.
Yeah, because I remember like a lot of the scenes seemed exactly the same.
Because like there's a lot of blended scenes. It's probably why you put that together watching the series and the movie, because it is the movie essentially and the series combined. It just took different aspects. That's why it was pretty terrible, honestly.
One or the other, you know?
Yeah, and of course, storytelling and breaking of the characters and stuff like that. Oh, well.
That's important to me.
Yeah, I know. You and your shallowness.
I'm okay with that.
but there is quite a bit of nudity in it. She needs to get naked in order to go invisible.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense.
Every time they create this technology, it's like clothes disappear too for some reason. So.
Yeah, what was also cool is the detail they had. She had like this, I don't want to say headdress, but like this film that sort of fell down around her hair. I'm assuming because her hair doesn't go invisible. Assuming they never explained it. I'm assuming that's what it is. So that goes invisible over her hair, so now you don't see her hair. I think that's what it was.
Right.
Which is really cool, that level of detail. Wish they kind of explained it. Yeah. But I guess if you're looking at it, you can figure it out yourself.
Well, I mean, I'm blanking on how the movie opens, doesn't it?
It opens with her on top of a roof.
Oh, right.
Looking at that Japanese boss mafia type thing.
She jumps down and assassinates that.
Naked.
Yeah, naked.
And then there's this slow drop away scene after she kills her targets. There's a couple people still alive, so she's like falling out of the window,
well,
but going invisible at the same time. Yeah. And it like slows down, and the guy that's looking at her is like, huh, invisible technology! And like, well, shoot at her.
What's funny about that slow falling scene there, it's like the signature throughout everything.
Yeah.
It's like in every movie, every series, every anything to do with this Ghost in the Shell thing. It's just how it is.
It's always there.
Yeah. So it's like, even that scene where she jumps off the roof and shoots that person is in like almost every
incarnation
of.
Maybe it's because when it came out, like that kind of thing hadn't been done yet. That's all I can really think of. I don't know.
Oh,
It, because it might have an actual importance to the culture shock and all that when it happened back in the day. So they want to carry it through with every iteration.
Well, I get why they did it. It's just, it's funny how that's the signature. And that's the one thing you brought out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, so it works, essentially.
Yeah, it's a memorable moment, even if it isn't that great by today's standards, I would say.
Well,
but you definitely remember it. It's a slow scene, and they've been putting a lot of emphasis on it.
How often do you see a naked woman jump off of a roof and shoot a guy through a window?
In today's media, pretty often.
Oh, yeah? Name one.
Ghost in the Shell, 1, 2, 3, 4. Movie 1, 2, 3, 4. Live action movie.
None of that happened today.
Well, anyway. So my big complaints are vagueness in the story here and there.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
But again, that is the point of it. I just don't like that.
That's my whole problem with this. That's my problem with it, too. Same problem I had with Akira. It's overhyped.
And there's this profoundness they try to
And the pretentiousness.
And it's like, I get it. Like, are we alive? Live ghosts, artificial intelligence, not really artificial intelligence, awakening intelligence from different computer systems. And it's like, all right. I mean, I guess back in the day, that's really important because computer systems were still fairly new.
Right.
But it just doesn't really place anywhere today. Like, this is things we think about when we're super young now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm in my 30s. Like, I've been thinking about this for a real long time, and you're trying to tell me this is a profound thing, and I'm like, seems pretty normal now. It's not really, you know.
Right. No, I gotcha. And that's what bothers me about it, too, is the pretentiousness and the overhypedness of what it actually was.
The slow pacing is really weird, too. Like, they'll have an action scene, and then they'll have, like, a 2 to 3 minute scene of, like, city lights and city signs.
Yeah.
And this weird singing, this weird vocal Japanese, type singing. And it's like, what the f*** is going on? I kind of get they're trying to put you in the mindset of living in a city.
Right. I guess
it just doesn't really work in this instance.
They were trying to give you settings.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
feel like you're there almost.
Uh-huh. But, you know.
It really didn't
work. It felt like establishing shots. You know you know what establishing shot is? So that's what it felt like. A bunch of establishing shots just tied together. It's like, okay.
And it was, after every big scene, it was like that. And it was just like, oh, another one. I can just, you know, close my eyes for a couple minutes. I could do that because I know nothing is happening.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
What's the story?
The premise, you mean?
Yeah, the premise.
What's the premise? Aren't you supposed to do the premise?
No.
I think you're supposed
to. For the movies, you do it.
No, I don't think that's the rule. I think you did it with Akira.
So the premise is a futuristic world, sort of, what's the right word? Dystopian, almost?
Almost. Not quite.
Because it's still very much real world, but the government is very much in charge of almost everything.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's approaching dystopian future.
Almost. It's very Japanese.
Yeah.
And it's governmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's parliamental system and everything else.
Yeah, yeah, there's different sections and all that. And they place a lot of emphasis on that type of thing. Especially in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, in the movie, for sure, there's a couple sections of it. But in the show, like, that's a big driving factor of the show.
Right. I mean, the government is a big driving factor in this one, too, because they created the artificial intelligence that came to life. And
which
you
is
know,
sort of the whole point of the show. That's the whole arc.
Yeah, they're trying to find this puppet master.
Yeah, and so there's Section 8, I believe it is, Section 8?
Well, the Motoko's Kusanagi is the main character. Her section is Section 9.
Section 9, that's what it is.
And Section 6 is the one that created the artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So they're the antagonist, kind of, in this.
So they're, you know, crime investigating, terrorist investigating type Section 9, something like that. They don't really explain too much in the movie.
Well, it all started with that first scene where she killed
some crime mafia bosses.
No. He was defecting to the United States.
Whatever it is.
So he was defecting to the United States, but he was, I don't know what it's called. It was ghosted. Like, they think they're somebody else.
Oh, yeah. So they get, like, hacked in or something?
He was hacked. fucked. And that's pretty much...
Like, all your previous memories are erased, mm-hmm. and, like, you just have this mindset of what you're doing now. But there's no real filler in there. You're just moving forward with, I gotta go do this.
Right.
And if people ask questions about your life, like, oh, where's your daughter, where's this, where's that, then it's... You start to question things. You right. start to freak
out. That's a big deal, like, the garbage guy that they,
Yeah, yeah. So that first scene happens where, you know, she kills a bunch of people or whatever. And then pretty much the next action scene after some slow pacing is them chasing down this hacker that's hacking into these phone booths. I think phone booths.
They look like phone booths.
Yeah. And
should we explain what a phone booth is?
No. It turns out to be a trash driver just driving around.
Yeah.
You know, getting trash and then stopping at phone booths and hacking in. He thinks he's hacking into his wife's terminal. I don't know yeah. if it's her ghost in her head or if it's like her computer at home. They didn't really were very clear about that.
He was hacking to his wife, essentially.
Yeah. And because she wants to leave him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not too important. And so they're trying to, because they see these hacks happening, they're trying to find out who it is. They don't know who it is yet. And they end up finding out it's the trash driver. They end up catching him and everything. And upon closer inspection, he's been hacked.
Yeah, and he's really...
He doesn't actually have a wife. He doesn't actually have a kid.
Or daughter or anything. Yeah. He's just a single guy who thought he was married with his kid and stuff. Kind of messed up, honestly.
He was really messed up. He asked if he'll ever get his regular memories back, and they're like, no.
Yeah, probably no, not. You're stuck with these memories.
You're stuck with these memories. You're stuck with the loss of not actually having a family, even though you think you do, which yeah. is really, really fucked. Like, your wife and kid are just now dead, essentially. You still have that love for them in you, and now they're dead.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, that's really messed up.
I mean, it's actually worse than that. It's almost like they never existed in a
world. Oh, yeah, place. Yeah, but, like, in your, like, they're gone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. It's so weird. Your love was a lie.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. It's like, wow, my whole life so now is a lie, so what do I do?
I feel like
do?
That was way more interesting than half the show, half the movie.
Yeah, you also didn't like the episodic nature of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I found a lot of the episodes interesting and intriguing, whereas the individual cases...
Which they are really cool, and it's just, I've seen it so many times.
Well, yeah. I'm tired of it. But you're also judging it based on today's standards when this was...
That's true. That is true. Gotta stop doing that. So while chasing down them, the truck driver, the one that was hacking the places, was also trying, because he found out they were onto him. So they went to go notify his buddy, the guy that was teaching him how to hack into things.
Right.
Probably the guy that hacked him.
Yeah.
You know, they end up getting him. He's got a Uzi, an automatic Uzi with armor-piercing rounds, which apparently rips the gun up, which doesn't, I mean, that's really not the case, but we're not going
to
yeah. get into it.
But you
that.
Have to understand, this is 2029 in crappy future world.
Crappy future world.
Whereas stuff doesn't work right, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, AP rounds, so, like, in real life, armor-piercing rounds, they got a little extra gunpowder in them, but the reason why they're armor-piercing rounds is because the tip is really, really dense metal.
Right.
That's why they rip through armor. So it doesn't really make sense that they would rip up the internal parts of a gun.
This is futuristic bullets. It's, you know, this is 10 years in the future right now, Sean.
All right. Anyway, but it was kind of cool. So, like, he would shoot the Uzi and unload his, I think, 30-round mag, whatever it was, and he would, like, have to take a stance real low because it would push him back a little bit. Again, doesn't make any sense, but it's a cool scene.
Futuristic. It's a futuristic kind of thing.
So yeah, they chase him down, they end up catching him.
That was probably one of the most iconic moments too of this.
Oh yeah, because there's like this water there, he's sort of in a really big puddle, essentially.
Yeah.
And the major's naked and
invisible, and she kicks the crap out of him. Invisible. Mm-hmm.
He's got some bullets, but he misses.
Uh-huh.
Then he pulls out a knife and she's just flipping him around and beating the shit out of him.
It's probably one of the best action scenes.
Yeah, that was actually really decent. I like that a lot.
It was and it's interesting.
So, like, she'll flip him on the ground and he'll create a bunch of puddle waves, and then the camera view will be up from a eagle eye view looking down,
mm-hmm.
and you see the ripples, you know, go out in a circle.
You see her walking.
Away, and you see her jumping back, but you don't actually see that because she's invisible. You just see her little puddle waves.
Right.
So that was really cool. I liked that. They did that well.
And then it gets slow.
It gets real slow. Not 100% sure what happens at this point.
Another naked girl walks out in front of a car.
Yes, I remember that.
And she's a cyborg. Like, we forgot to mention, the main character, Major. She's also a cyborg.
But she has a ghost, so she has a human brain intelligence inside of her cyborg body.
Yes, they implanted her brain into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, and it's going into series.
You live longer, I guess.
Sure.
You can dive into technology and stuff, but you can sort of do that as a human body.
And they explain in the shows and stuff that...
Oh, yeah, didn't she get in a car accident or something?
She got in a car accident and she was going to die. eyes.
Yeah, they look mangled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't explain that in the movie, though.
So, no.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean...
you don't need everything explained.
They didn't really dive into backstories and stuff. Which is, yeah, it's fine. It wasn't about that. So, this other girl walks out in front of a car and gets hit, and apparently...
Mangled up. Big-ass cities, though.
Yeah. But she... they recovered, and it's only the torso.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, waist down is ripped up.
Yeah.
Both her arms from probably elbows down are gone.
Yeah.
Ripped up. But waist... Or waist down, I should say. Elbow down. And then waist up, elbow up. And it's, you know,
full They had to show the tits the whole time.
Show the titties.
This half mangled.
By the way, there's a scene in the beginning where, this is going to get weird, where they show the creation of the mage's body. The whole process of it, the metal skeleton, the muscles being put on the skin. The titties look like they're metal bags. They don't look very soft. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm assuming that holds, I don't know, memory or something. Maybe it's a battery pack. I don't know. Like, I want to know what's inside her titty. Because it doesn't look like it's muscle or fat or anything. It looks rock solid, but then she's naked half the f***ing movie running around and it jiggles. So, I don't know what to believe. Like, I don't know what's going on. Be consistent. Either it's part of the metal skeleton and it's rock hard, or it's not.
That is such a weird complaint.
It's not really... I'm just a question.
Okay. I want to know. It's a weird question. Okay, that was a tangent.
Anyway, let's go forward. Don't worry. Blonde naked body.
Yeah, they recover
it. That's section 9.
And apparently the puppeteer is this sentient intelligence that became consciousness as it was exploring the internet and stuff like that. And downloaded itself into this body.
Yeah, he downloaded his consciousness into the body.
Into this woman's body, yeah, this cyborg.
He had to for some reason, I forget why. I think to prove himself that he is alive or
something
like that.
Yeah, he actually wanted to download himself into an actual human body because he defines humanity as...
being able to die.
Be able to die and reproduce.
Yeah.
So...
That was interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, typical...
As interesting as it can be.
Typical philosophical questions and stuff. So then Section 6 comes in, and there's this big distraction, and they take the...
Yeah, they, like, shoot up in the place, and they're not really hurting anyone, but they're just trying to steal the body. They get the body, they run the f*** out.
And then Motoko and her team chases after.
Yeah, the one human member of their team, love him, because he's got a revolver, tricks him by unloading into it, and then loading one more bullet, which is a tracer round, puts it in the car.
Right, yeah. He's against cyber. Genetics, essentially. He's full human and he doesn't want any...
He has a low jacket in the back of his neck.
Right. But yeah, so he's pretty much against that though, and that's why he uses like a classic revolver with no enhancements.
He just wants
like
baseline
that.
Stuff.
Right.
So, liability.
Yeah, essentially, that's how he thinks about it. So they chase him down, and I forget what this was, the car scene.
Yeah.
Chase scene, right?
Yeah, they're shooting.
It's just an action scene.
It's an action scene.
It's not bad or anything. It's just, it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a car chase and shooting. It's not the major going after him. It's not their other partner. What's his name?
Bato.
Cool guy. Big muscly, but fake muscles.
Yeah, I guess, but he's got
these... He does.
He's got these weird periscope eyes.
Yeah, yeah, they're like infrared type eyes.
Yeah, that stick out like almost like googly eyes. Or
you took some, I can't think of the word, but you took some like plastic little cups and put them on your eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah, or something along those lines.
It looks just weird.
So yeah, it all leads up to them finding the body in this warehouse.
Yes.
Where the major goes and has to fight this giant-ass tank.
With nothing but an M203 grenade launcher,
which
apparently can't dent a tank, which it really can't. Yeah, so they did that right, but it was like, all right, well, why even bring it?
I mean, she didn't really know that what she was facing at the
time. No, they did, because there was actually a specific scene when she was talking to Bato. He was on the other side of town doing, you know, whatever, trying to get to her. And he's like, you have to wait for backup. And she's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to run in. I'm going to try and lowjack. And he's like, what do you got? She's like, an M203. And he's like, that can't even hurt a tank. So there was a specific scene.
Yeah, but they said they couldn't even hurt a tank. She didn't know there was a tank.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
They just said that as like foreshadowing.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, you know, she's firing it off and she jumps around. She tries to get on the tank to like, rip up its hatch to lowjack into it. And she's like pulling it so hard, her skin and muscles tear. And...
Yeah, her arms get... She pulls off her own arms.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. But the only part that was weird about that is you only see damage on her arms. You don't see damage anywhere else on her body.
Yeah, I mean...
So when she rips her arms up and falls off of it, she just sort of lays there like she's dead, essentially, but not. She's alive, and you think she'd still be able to get up and walk around a bit. Show me some damage on her legs if you're going to do that.
I don't remember. Doesn't the rest of her body get destroyed, too?
I mean, you see her muscles, like, tensing up under her skin really hard.
No, I mean...
And it's a weird scene, because up until this point, she's very ladylike.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, fucking hulked out Kaioken times fucking 10. And it looks so weird to see big-ass titties on a huge muscular body. It's really odd. It's a really weird thing to see.
You're really fixated this episode.
Well, she was naked in the scene.
I know. I had
to throw that in there.
Uh-huh.
I told you, a lot of nudity. I didn't expect any nudity in it from watching the TV show.
Well, it was a TV show. This was a movie.
There is still some nudity in Japanese TV. I've seen quite a bit of
it. But...
I've seen quite a bit. I don't think we've seen too much of it. We've only seen it in Queen's Blade and maybe one or two others.
It's not often. We get a lot of fan service, but
yeah,
there's a lot
of fan service.
Like, there's sometimes, like, shock one. Like, that second season of Full Metal Panic, out of nowhere, just had...
Yeah. That's a couple naked lesbians.
Yeah. Well, they were sisters.
Yeah, yeah. But they were sort of lesbians.
Yeah, kind
of.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Anyway, it was definitely odd. But at the same time, the only time I ever felt like the nudity was sexualized was probably during the creation process.
A little bit.
A little bit after the creation process. They're like just zooming in on her tits a whole lot.
Yeah.
And they actually added definition to like areolas and stuff. Whereas in the rest of the movie, you just see pointy nipple and that's it.
Yeah.
And it just seemed weird. There was a little odd at that point. But everywhere else, it was just like, oh, hey, I'm naked, whatever.
Yeah,
who cares?
It's just, this is just how this works. This is what this is for. It's more of a technical aspect than it is needed to actually sexualize this character.
So she tries to rip off its hatch or whatever and fails.
Well, I just want to get in. That's what I really liked about the show and series throughout the whole thing, because she's a very attractive main character.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But they rarely sexualized her at all throughout any of anything.
Even though she's naked for half the movie.
Yeah, I mean, even through the series and stuff like that, it was very few and far between when they did anything like that with her, and I found that a little refreshing, because you make a hot character like that, you kind of want to...
Yeah, a hot main character.
Yeah, you're...
And you're gonna show her naked a lot.
Yeah, you're gonna want to throw, you know, that in there. It just seemed like this guy
won... The only time I ever felt it was that one part towards the beginning.
Yeah.
Was it.
And it was like the guy was like, yeah, I mean, like, I kind of like the technical aspects of her needing to be, and he really focused on what, you know, this is how this would work, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Bato in the show sort of fell in love with her, sort of.
He's kind of in love with
again,
her.
Again, it wasn't really sexualized, it was more of a, I just kind of care about you thing.
Yeah, and he's like that throughout most of the thing, but, so it was just a little refreshing to see, especially from a Japanese culture standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're going to get your nudity and your stuff like that, and I'm not complaining about that. That's part of the reason why you like anime, but
yeah, I feel like it's a smaller part, at least for me.
But, well, I mean, like, it's just,
it's definitely there.
They don't treat you like a kid.
Yeah, which is nice.
That's
except for when they do. But
except when
they
do.
Most they tell him they
you know, like, what was that one that we watched? Ninja Hattori.
Oh Christ! I think that was specifically for children.
Yeah,
I don't think that was. I mean, even though there is weirdness in it, I think it was more for kids.
Yeah, I don't know, but there was guns and shit in that.
Yeah. Still think it was more.
I mean, it was definitely a kid show, but it wasn't Pokemon.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, back to this. She tries to rip it off, falls off because she rips herself up, and then Bato shows up, saves the day, pretty much destroys the tank with a rocket launcher. What did he have?
I don't know.
He might have had an actual grenade launcher, but it was bigger grenades.
Yeah, something like all this. I mean,
AP rounds.
After she like damaged it enough for him to do it, of course.
And then, you know, she's on the ground, tank's down, but then in this car is the body of Guy.
Right.
And meanwhile, she's like, lowjack me in.
Meanwhile, the government's trying to snipe her from the helicopter.
Yeah, well, not trying to kill her yet. Right now, they're trying to kill him.
You're trying to kill the...
But once she jacks in, you gotta kill them both.
Yeah, she jacks in and actually merges with the consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. They end up merging, so she's just not herself anymore, which was part of the show too, right?
No, the show was actually, she was herself. That didn't happen in the show.
Could have sworn in the show, she, like, her consciousness went into the internet.
It did.
Not the merging. The merging didn't happen.
That happened. Yes.
Okay. So it was a similar aspect, because this happened in the
right. So the
movie, sure, consciousness sort of goes off.
Yeah. Yeah, the puppet master, though, and this and her consciousness merge and basically create a new thing. So the snipers destroy the rest of her body, except Bato protects her head.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain's not destroyed. And essentially, that's it. They think they kill her, and then he puts her into this little girl's body.
Yeah, cyborg.
And this little girl's cyborg. It was one of her old bodies, essentially.
And he's like, oh, not my taste. Because I think that's sort of implying that he does care about her. But like, oh, you're in a kid's body. Let's hold off.
Right. So... And then that's pretty much it. She says, I don't know what I'm going to do from here. And
Bato's the only one that knows she's alive at this point, yeah. I think.
And she's merged with pretty much all this puppet master, because this puppet master had all this access and stuff like this. Yeah. So he's like this advanced, higher level kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
So she's got all of its powers plus her consciousness, but now she's free to do whatever she wants. She's not bound by the government.
Society, or the government.
So the ending is just her walking off like, okay, I don't know where I'm going from here, but bye. Yeah,
she takes Bato has a car she takes.
Yeah, he takes one of his cars and that's it.
That's the end of the movie.
I mean, it was a good movie.
Yeah. I just wish they cut out some of that slow pacing. That would have made things a little bit better.
I mean, it's on par, I think, with Akira.
Yeah, for sure. You could have made it an hour-long movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then it would have been better.
I say that with Akira, too, though.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. It was pretty good. It wasn't great. By today's standards. If we watched this in 1995, not having watched anime, not having seen in-depth stories that have been created since then.
I don't judge anything based on today's standards.
That's true. But also, back then, like we said earlier, AI becoming self-aware was a newer thing than it is now.
Yeah, it's more, now it's just science fiction tropes. So.
Yeah, it was more interesting back then. Yeah, judging it based on back in the day, solid 8.
Yeah, definitely an 8.
Nowadays, 5.
I don't want to go that far.
I'd go 5. I don't want to fall. I would want to fall asleep.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't really have enough time to, because like I said, you only get 2 or 3 minutes of that slow pacing and then back to something else.
I still
think
it's an above average movie, so I think it's at least a 6.
Yeah, that's fair.
If by your standards, I still think it's an 8.
Yeah, judging in the basis of time, 8. Nowadays, I just...
No, I got you. I knew we were going to be on episode ends on this, so it's cool. Well, just like, it's interesting that's how it played out too, because me with Akira, you with this, not really liking those two movies, thinking they're overhyped, pretentious, and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's definitely true. All right, guys.
So there's no wheel this week.
Yeah. We spun last week.
Hold on, before we get in that, there's nothing to compare this to unless we want to compare it to Akira, if you would rather.
Nah,
it's not really fair.
Yeah, they're separate movies.
Yeah, they're separate things. So, yeah, but there's no wheel this week because we spun last week to see what we're going to watch it.
Last week.
It was last week.
Well, for us, it was last week. Yeah. For them, it could be released two days apart.
No, I release them every Friday.
Anyway. So next episode will be Zone of the Enders Dolores.
Yeah.
We already know that from the last episode.
Yeah, so far, I didn't hate it, so.
Yeah, I'm lessened. You're almost done. I'm probably episode 5, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, all right.
It's a little corny.
It is, but I like the family dynamic in it.
Yeah, that is interesting. We'll talk about it, though.
Yep.
Next episode.
All right, see you later.
See you guys.
Bye.